Y'all are in for such a treat this morning. Caitlin Goss is here to help you celebrate Easter in a more fun way with your kids. She's going to share some great ideas, and y'all are going to do a little Easter egg hunt and just have a great morning. Caitlin is the mother of three boys, 6, 4, and 2, and they are so cute. So they have a lot of fun at their house. I have seen pictures. I have heard stories. So Caitlin is the perfect person to help you celebrate Easter. And she was a school teacher in her previous before motherhood life. So she is great at teaching and hands-on activities. So please welcome Caitlin and enjoy the morning.
I feel like I want to be down here with you. I don't like the whole getting up and having to talk. And you guys, I'm like going to stand right by you guys. I feel like I'm getting FOMO. I just love, this isn't, you know, we're going to have a couple little fun activities, but I just love doing fun things with the kids. And it's just with boys, especially, they need to be constantly doing things. So I'm excited. But before we start, I don't know about you, but I have had just a crazy morning. And apparently there's been a really bad accident too, and I'm frazzled this morning, so I just want to pray for us before we get started and just kind of center our hearts. Lord, we thank you so much for today. Lord, we thank you just for as spring comes, Lord, for just renewal, Lord, and new hopes and new mercies, God. And Lord, I just pray for our hearts this morning, Lord. I pray that we would just get excited, Lord, about your Easter story, Lord, about sharing the gospel with our kids. And Lord, we recognize that we can do all these little things. We can do all these crafts. We can do all these stories to our children. But Lord, you are the only one that can change their hearts, God. And so we give them to you, Lord. We give them, we give their souls to you, God, knowing that you love them more than we ever could, God. And we pray that as Easter approaches, God, that you would soften the hearts and the minds of our little ones, Lord, that they would be receptive and would be eager to hear your story, God. And I pray that they would never know a day where they didn't know and experience your love and your grace, God. On all these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm sorry for the ones that have all the little babies, because you probably just wanted to come and sit, but this this is going to be a little bit interactive. So we're going to have just a very informal Easter egg hunt. There's not money in there or anything, but there's some aspects of what we're going to do in some of the eggs, and then there's fun treats for you guys and the other ones. So I was just going to take a few minutes, and if you guys can, I'll hold your babies if you're walking around. Just walk around, and if we could collect the eggs, and if you could keep your eggs together, and then I'll tell you when you can open them. So does that sound good? Yeah? Okay. All right. Go have fun. Okay. All right. I think we got all of them. So if you guys want to take just a minute and open up your eggs, and if you can, take the stuff out. If you have any treats, those are for you to eat and enjoy here, or you can take them with you. But if there are other items in yours, keep track of those too. And if you could close the eggs when you're done as well. So some of you should have noticed that you had other things that were not edible in yours. So these are called the resurrection eggs. How many of you, have you guys heard of these before? Yes? Okay. I love these. I actually used to, I was gifted these when I was teaching over at a private school, and we used them with our students, and I asked if I could have them when I left, because they're so sweet. So I was excited when mine were old enough to do it, but it's such a great hands-on way for them to really experience the Easter story. The way that they're intended to be used is there are 12 days, so you would just start 12 days out from Easter. And we're going to go through them really quickly, and I'm going to actually kind of read to you if it sounds... I'm going to actually read from what the kids' devotion is, so you can see. You can get these on Amazon. You can get them from Walmart.com. You can, I think, even get them at Hobby Lobby. I started when my oldest Daniel was... old enough to just open them. Your babies, where they could just see them and touch them. And even if it was just me saying it to them, getting comfortable with telling them the story of Easter, I always just think, like, what's the purpose of all this, right? And the purpose of this, of us teaching them, is we can't love who we don't know, right? We can't love who we don't know. And so our heart is not to check off the list. It's not to show on Instagram that we did these cute little crafts with our kids. We want just constant informal exposure to the gospel, to God's word, to our kids, so that it's so natural that they don't even have to think twice. They've heard it so often. So the first one is the day one is the little donkey. Who got the little donkey? Emily. Good. Emily, will you take a, do you mind reading the verse up on here? And then do you have the donkey in there? Okay. Thank you. I'll take it back from you.
Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." The disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and their colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road.
Thank you. So it says, in Jesus' day, you can just, yeah, thanks, Emily. Most people walked everywhere. Sometimes kings rode on donkeys or horses when they entered a city. The people would stop and see what they were doing and watch as the king rode by. On the day that Jesus rode into their city, the people were thrilled to see him. They believed he was their new king who had come to save them and to fill their lives with joy. So day two are the silver coins. Who has the silver coins? Did you think that you were actually getting money for a minute? Would you mind reading those?
Sure.
And I'll take those from you. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, What will you give me if I deliver him over to you? And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him, to hand Jesus over to his enemies.
Thank you. You can just say, thank you so much. Not everyone was happy to have Jesus as their king. Some people only pretended to be happy, but on the inside, they didn't really want anything to do with him. One of those pretenders was a man named Judas Iscariot. Some other men hated Jesus so much that they wanted to kill him, but they needed the help of someone who could get them close to Jesus. Because Judas Iscariot was a pretender, and because he was greedy for money, he told these men that he would help them capture Jesus if they would pay him 30 silver coins. Day three is the cup. Who has the cup? Yes? Okay. Itty bitty cup. Would you mind reading the verse over there? Okay, thanks. And then do you have it? Okay, I'll take this. Thank you.
And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Matthew 26.
Thank you. Jesus had a special dinner with his disciples, 12 of his closest friends who traveled with him and learned from him. During the meal, Jesus stood up and held out a cup and gave everyone a drink. Then he said some things that was hard for them to understand. He said that the wine in the cup was his blood. He didn't mean that they would actually be drinking blood, but that the wine was a symbol of his blood. He wanted them to remember this special night and the promise he was making to them and all of his people. Day four is the praying hands. Okay, Liz.
And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." Mark 14:32-34.
After dinner with his disciples, Jesus took them to the garden. He asked them to pray while he went to another place in the garden to talk alone with God. He began to be sad and dread what he knew was going to happen soon. He was going to die. Do you ever get sad about things in your life? You can always do what Jesus did. You can pray and tell God exactly how you feel. He always listens. Okay, day five is the leather whip. Leather whip? Okay. Are you good? Thanks, Gail.
Then Pilate took Jesus and whipped him. John 19:1.
When Jesus finished praying in the garden, the men who wanted to kill him took him as their prisoner. Then they brought Jesus to Pilate, their ruler, and had Jesus whipped. The whip used was long and hard, and it hurt Jesus so much that he bled. Jesus hadn't done anything wrong. The men who wanted to kill him were afraid of losing power, so they wanted Jesus out of their way. They knew that if people really believed that Jesus was the Son of God, which he was, they would follow him. Okay, day six is the crown of thorns. Crown of thorns. Okay.
Then the soldiers and the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and kneeling before him, they mocked him. Matthew 27.
After Jesus had been whipped, the soldiers took branches with thorns, twisted them into the shape of a crown, and shoved it on Jesus' head. Again, Jesus bled. We know that because Jesus was the Son of God, he could have stopped the men from hurting him, but he let them continue. Do you know why? Because even though he hadn't done anything wrong, he had not sinned, Jesus was taking the punishment for all the wrong things that any person had ever done or would ever do. This includes you and me. Day seven are the nails on the cross. Nails on the cross. Anybody? Is this a? Oh, yeah. Perfect. Thanks.
So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. John 19:16b-18.
Thank you. The soldiers made Jesus carry a heavy wooden cross to the top of a hill. Using nails much larger than these, they nailed him to the cross, which must have hurt very much. He died a few hours later. The Bible tells us that Jesus was stronger than any man. The soldiers couldn't have killed Jesus if he had not let them. He could have fought off the soldiers. But why didn't he? Because God loves his people so much, he was willing to let Jesus be punished for our sins, the things that we do or the way that we act that don't please God. And even though it hurt Jesus badly, he was willing to do what God the Father asked. Jesus loves us too. Okay, day eight are the die, or one pair of die. Okay, all right. You got your hands full. You're good. Okay, you're good.
When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them among four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven into the piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be."
Have you ever played a game using dice? Games are supposed to be fun, but what the soldiers did was mean and cruel. While Jesus was dying on the cross, they played a game to decide who would take his clothes. Jesus knew what the soldiers were doing, but he did not show anger. He chose to die for their sins too. That's why he prayed for them, even while they were playing their mean game. He prayed, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Okay, nine is the spear.
So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. John 19:32-34.
Two robbers were crucified with Jesus, one on each side of him. When the soldiers came to check the three men on the crosses, Jesus had already died. Just to make sure, though, one of the soldiers stabbed Jesus in the side with a spear. This is a sad story, but a true one. It's sad to think that Jesus died and that he died in such a cruel way. But remember that Jesus gave up his life because of his love for all sinners. This includes you and me and all who tell lies, steal from others, disobey God, or even people like the soldier who stabbed him. Okay, day 10 is the linen cloth. Linen cloth? You got it? All right.
When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. When Pilate ordered it to be given to him, then he ordered it to be given. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away.
After Jesus died, a man named Joseph asked if he could bury him. This was a brave and loving thing for Joseph to do. Remember that the men who killed Jesus did not believe he was the Son of God. But Joseph did believe, and he wanted Jesus to have a proper burial. Joseph knew that this might get him in trouble with the soldiers, but he was brave and asked for permission anyway. Joseph wrapped the body of Jesus in cloth and buried him in a tomb cut out like rock, a shallow cave. Joseph then went away, sad because Jesus was dead, and wondering what would happen next. Okay? Day 11 is the stone.
Like a rock? Anybody have a rock? You got that? I gave that one to you. Oh, Emily. Read again.
And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men.
The stone that was rolled in front of Jesus' tomb was much bigger than the stone in this egg. It was as big as a door and probably weighed more than a car. After Jesus was buried, special soldiers were assigned to stand guard at the tomb. But these men were no match for God's angel. It took just one angel to roll the stone away. The guards were so afraid that they fainted. Where did the angel get his strength? He got it from God. Okay, last, who had 12? Who had the empty one? Empty egg. Okay, hold on. I've got a prize for you. Keeping you awake. I should have had this out earlier. It's left over from the women's retreat, Gail. I hope you don't mind. It's a $5 gift card to the atrium.
Oh, nice.
There you go. Surprise. My mom doesn't
know. Ready? But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, and he, as he said, come see the place where he lay."
When two women came to the tomb of Jesus, they were surprised too. The heavy stone was rolled aside and the tomb was empty. Jesus' body was not there. The angel told them he had risen. Jesus had come back to life. This was the promise that Jesus made to his disciples at their special dinner just a few days before, that he would die but would come back to life to show those who believe in him that they would live forever too. Someday, because he died for us, we can meet him and thank him in heaven. That's the story of Easter, and it's true. So I'm going to do a little bit of table talk before our next little craft. And you don't have to buy those, by the way. They you can even like make pictures of them. But I just have noticed that with, especially just with my boys, that the little anchors of those along the way just help them to retain the story a lot better than helps me retain it better. But kind of like what we were talking about before, like what's the point of all this, right? The point of this is Easter comes, but it's a great opportunity for us to share the gospel to them. And what does that look like to you? How did I word it? I had such a hard time trying to word this to you guys. How can we make this Easter story personal to our children? What does that look like? Just what are some things that come to mind when you think about sharing it formally, informally with them? Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. We'll take a few minutes, and then we'll keep going. So chat amongst yourselves. You guys look like you're enjoying yourselves. I hate to. Is there anything that someone said that kind of stuck out to you guys at your table? Anything? Something that I think is important is that how, for us to reflect, how are we teaching the gospel to ourselves, right? How are we, there was a book I read in college, and I couldn't even, I mean, it was probably 14 years ago, but it was called The Gospel for Real Life, and it was just talking about how we as Christians, it's so easy for us to just forget how we apply the gospel to our lives on a daily basis, you know what I mean? And so one of the things that I was thinking about is, again, we don't have these, I mean, maybe it's your style, but my style is not, let me have this sit down formal conversation where I'm sharing with the boys, like, and, you know, going through this grand story. My hope is that they just hear it and it's cyclical and it's so natural. But also something I try to do in those moments of sin is making the gospel personal right then and there. Like, you know what, Andrew, Jesus died for this sin right here, for that anger, so that we don't have to live with this anger in our hearts. Or same with me. I'll say, Jesus died. Jesus took this from me. I don't have to carry this burden. Letting them see how he's continually, the gospel is something that we are constantly applying to our hearts. And letting them see that too. Letting them see, Jesus wants to take that burden from you. And then for us too, like how often we hear, I think about the Christmas story or the Easter story, and we're like, okay, yeah, we know about the die, we know about the thorn, we know all these things. But just trying to take a look at the reading the scriptures again and almost, and just
praying, God, show something new to me. We know that the scripture is living and active. We're never going to outgrow the gospel. We're never going to outgrow scripture. God, show me something new about this story, almost in an investigative kind of perspective. Like, why were these people here? What was it like? What was it like for the cost of Joseph to go and ask for the body? What did he experience? And just kind of helping you to see a fresh perspective of it, I think would give us an eagerness to share the story to our kiddos too. Did anyone want to share anything that they or heard something someone talk about? It's okay if you don't. Yeah.
We thought it'd be a good idea once you've gone through these 12 things with the kids, the ones that are old enough to express it, then on Easter when grandparents come over or whatever, go through, you want to show grandma and grandpa what you learned and go through each egg. Remember, what was this for and what was this for, to remind them, and it also shares the gospel with maybe grandparents that aren't believers.
Yes, I love that. That's great. I know. Who's that? Oh, that's so cute. Okay, so what we're going to do now is, this is one of my favorite things, is we're going to do resurrection rolls. Has anyone ever done resurrection rolls before? They taste really good, and they're fun. Again, sorry, moms, but the hands are full. We'll make them for you. but this is a really, it's cost effective, and the kids love it. So basically what it is you have, and we'll go over there and we'll do it, but you have the croissants that you use, and then you have the marshmallow, melted butter, cinnamon, sugar mixed together, and you just walk them through that croissant is the cloth that they wrap Jesus in. Obviously, the marshmallow is his body. The butter and the cinnamon sugar are the herbs that they use to anoint his body or preserve. And then the oven represents the tomb. There's a lot. I could give you like the very specifics. I'm just doing a flyby. And then you cook them and the kids watch because, again, you're emphasizing that the marshmallow is the body. Well, as they cook, it cooks in the oven. When they bite it and they open it up after it cools, the marshmallow has evaporated. So it's not there. It's a gooey little substance. So it's just really cool. They open it up and they're like, it's gone. And it's so fun. So we're going to do that. Hopefully they all melt. There's one time where I had my sons and some of their kids, and one of the little boys didn't get hot enough, and he's like, my marshmallow's still in here. Put it back in the oven. Yours hasn't been in there for 3 days yet. Just keep going. So this, real quick, you just go over there, and if you want to bring a pen, maybe you, sorry, I'm like trying to describe something to you, and I just keep... There is little cupcake liners. So you're going to make it, grab one croissant, dip your marshmallow in the butter first, the melted butter. I've got little forks over here too if you're a germaphobe. And then you can roll the melted butter marshmallow in here. Roll your croissant up and then put it in a cupcake liner. Okay? And then we'll bake them while we're here. It only takes like 10 minutes. Sound good? Yeah? Okay. All right, come on over. There was one more resource that I wanted to show you guys before. Has anyone heard of Right Now Media with the church? Yes. Well, I'm sure you have. Ladies, there's an awesome resource that we use that's called Right Now Media. Raise your hand if you have heard of it, other than Emma. Okay. Our church provides it to you for free. You just have to be, if I'm correct, I have to email it to you, like as a, or someone who does have it, if you get their email address, which I can, if you give me your email address, I can do it. But it is an awesome resource. We have it on, they've got the Adventures of Odyssey. Let me show you. But I was kind of looking through some media options to share with you guys. So on Right Now Media, if you go, again, this is a free resource that our church provides. The church doesn't make it, but you can think of any. It's great for adults. They've got all sorts of Bible studies. They've got movies. They've got Christian TV series like McGee and Me and Adventures of Odyssey. I mean, it's awesome. If you want your kids to watch anything other than, it's just great. But I typed in Easter on here, and they have these. I wanted to just show you one, and then...
It was under the kids series, and it was, let's see, 5-minute family. These are so cute. I want to show you one. So they have, hold on, let me pause it. They've got, it's a week worth of little 5-minute family devotions that you can do. They've got Palm Sunday. Anyways, the whole Easter week, they have a quick three-minute video. So I was going to show you the Friday that Jesus is on trial.
Aren't those awesome?
More. Those were so cute.
There's a jelly telly.
So they, again, they have, you could just start on Palm Sunday, and they have that same, it's very age appropriate for kids. And if you don't have Right Now Media, if you want to write your email address on a card and I can invite you, and I'll make sure I do that. One card to pass it on. Yeah, that's great. But again, like I said, just kind of going back to it, my hope and prayer with anything we do, I'm always telling myself, because I love to like do all these things, but if the Lord's not in it, it's all in vain, right? You know? So my prayer for us is that we would be seeking him personally, that he would be our greatest hope, our greatest desire in this crazy season, that we would rely on him, and that our kids would not, wouldn't see us just telling them, oh, Jesus loves me, but they would see us. They would see us calling on him every day, that we would be praising him every day, that it would just be out of the overflow of our hearts, that they couldn't help but be intrigued by it too. So that's my prayer for me. That's my prayer for you guys. Thank you so much for letting me come and hang out with y'all. I appreciate it. All these little my youngest is 2.5 now, but he acts like he's 12. And so seeing all these sweet little babies, I mean, I don't want another one, but they're, I like hanging out with the cute little babies. Can I pray for us? And then you guys can stay and mingle. Take your candy. If you just leave the eggs, I'll grab the eggs, but take any candy that you want. And then we'll bring out the resurrection rolls, and you can, we made extras. You can bring some to your kiddos or anything like that. But